I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
One of our absolute favorites, the incredibly talented daily podcasting NFL guru for CBS Sports, Pick Six Pod on Twitter, Will Brinson, the bearded one, Mr. Brinson. Hello, Will. What's up, buddy? Happy belated New Year.
What's up, Bill? Beard gang in full effect. As we head into the latter half of the first month of 2020, and Happy New Year to you too, pal.
Thank you, pal. All right, so let's start with Doug Peterson. There's a lot to get into here. Maybe just your reaction, your initial takeaway to the Super Bowl championship head coach of the Eagles no longer being the head coach of the Eagles.
Yeah, I mean, it was certainly shocking news when it dropped. Jason Lockenfora reported it. It was one of those, I think JLC tweeted it twice. That's how, sure you want to make sure that those tweets go through. That's how surprising it is that he gets fired. And it really does feel like the Eagles made a very conscious decision to say, all right, it's got to be Carson Wentz or Doug Peterson. And, we probably should have seen that coming. It felt like with all the tension surrounding those two as they headed into the end of the 2020 season that ultimately Philadelphia, to me, I get the sense that Doug Peterson sat down with Jeff Lurie and Jeff Lurie said, all right, bad season. What do we need to do to make sure things are going in the right direction? And it does. I don't know if Doug Peterson said it's either him or me, or if Carson Wentz said it's him or me, or if Doug Peterson said, hey, look, Howie Roseman ain't exactly, he hadn't exactly done a great job grocery shopping the last couple of years. He got one Pro Bowler since 2016. Whatever those conversations took place, it became clear that, it wasn't going to work with the current iteration of personnel, front office, and coaching staff moving forward. And so it made sense for Doug Peterson to part ways. I mean, to be perfectly frank, the Eagles they took the path of least financial resistance by parting ways with Doug Peterson instead of dealing with the financial cap ramifications that come with, trading Carson Wentz or cutting Carson Wentz. And you have to wonder, where does this leave them moving forward? Because now you have a franchise that, while they won a Super Bowl a couple of years ago, is saying, all right, our best outcome to try to fix this is by doubling down on Carson Wentz. And man, with that roster and the, Howie Roseman hiring his third head coach now, it doesn't feel like there's a quick fix here, I guess is my point.
Will Brinson here on the show. Will, with all that said, right, the sense that Wentz is going to be foisted on whoever gets that job, the over-involvement from the front office and the front office's lack of success in doing what it's actually supposed to do, the cap situation, where does this job rank on the desirability scale of the jobs that are out there? Like, if you could had to choose between this and the Jets job, are you eyeing that Jets job as some beauty?
Jets job is way better than the Eagles job. I mean, way better, I think.
Way better.
Yeah, I think that there's a clear-cut three. So I've got the Jaguars and Chargers at 1A and 1B. Probably Chargers maybe a little bit higher. We can go to the anyway, I have Chargers and Jaguars at 1A and 1B. Don't want to go on a full tangent here. And then the Jets, to me, are the clear third option there. And I think there's a big drop-off after that. Now, you are, if you go to Atlanta or Detroit, You certainly have, you know, a franchise quarterback in Matt Ryan or Matthew Stafford, but they are older. Houston is probably at the bottom of the list right now.
Really? You think Deshaun Watson's going away?
I mean, you're coming into a nuclear situation, right? Like, you don't know when you take that job if Deshaun Watson's is going to be there or not. I mean, that would be a pretty scary thing, because the only thing that makes that job attractive is Deshaun Watson. So I think I probably had them fourth, and then they slid down to last, you know, with this news about Watson. And I guess maybe the Eagles would be – I think the Eagles would probably be ahead of the Texans because – oh, God, it's tough. I mean, you're stuck with Wentz. You have the Jalen Hurts thing. You know, at least they have good draft picks. And but, I mean, you know, it's not like the roster's in great shape. I mean, they have lots of stars, but they're mostly aging stars. And, you know, you are going to have this situation with Howie Roseman where if you don't win early, he's going to be under scrutiny. You're going to be under scrutiny. I think it is far below the Jets job, because the Jets have at least, like, they can go with Sam. They can keep rolling with Sam Darnold, or they can draft Zach Wilson or Justin Fields at two. You can trade the number two pick and move down, acquire picks. You know, there's so much cap flexibility there and, you know, assets available. Whereas in Philadelphia, I think there's more young blue chip players in New York than in Philadelphia. I mean, it's crazy how bad the Eagles' job really is.
Is there a sense, Will Brinson, the freedom a coach would have when they come in as it relates to Sam Darnold being the quarterback of the future or not?
I don't know that the Jets even know. I would say that whoever is going to come in there, the way that Joe Douglas, the GM, operates, I mean, he's a football guy through and through, right? And he's not trying to bring in, as I understand it, he's not trying to bring in some coach that he's going to keep his thumb on and, you know, coach does what he tells him to do. I think he wants to bring in someone who he can collaborate with to develop a program and build a program, develop culture there, et cetera. And so given that, I think it makes sense to assume and believe that whatever coach comes in, the coach is not being hired to fix Sam Darnold. The coach is not being hired to develop whatever, you know, whoever they have in mind at number two. And I don't think they can even know, you know, I mean, you're looking at quarterbacks, you're studying prospects, but now that the season is over is when you really get into the nitty gritty of that as a front office guy. And so I would assume that Joe Douglas is going to get the coach who best works with him. And then they will collaborate together to make a decision on Sam Darnold versus whoever's available in the draft. And it may not even be as much about Sam Darnold as it is about Zach Wilson and Justin Fields or Trey Lance. I mean, in other words, I don't think that they'll take somebody at two just because they like, or just because, you know, they have the second overall pick and Sam Darnold's been there 3 years. I think if somebody blows them away, they will take that player at number two overall. But I don't think that they'll just take somebody just to swap him out for Sam Darnold.
Will Brinson here on the show. I don't want to go down this rabbit hole too much, but I am curious, and you sounded into it. If you're the top coaching candidate in the NFL and you have your choice, do you want the sure thing and Justin Herbert and that Chargers organization, or do you want the Jags, the roster flexibility, Trevor Lawrence, and a lot more draft picks behind Lawrence? What's the better job?
Yeah, I mean, it's a really tough question. We debated it on the Pick Six podcast. People can check it out. We did a emergency Doug Peterson podcast and a lot of the Eagles in there as well. I think it's so I am of the belief that Trevor Lawrence is one of the four best quarterback prospects to come out of college in the last, since 1984, Elway, Peyton, Andrew Luck, and Lawrence. And so it's hard for me to say I wouldn't take Trevor Lawrence in that spot. I do think that you have to lend, as you point out, I mean, like, you have to lend a little bit of, you know, you have to just deference to Trevor, to Justin Herbert, because he did it for a year at the NFL level. I mean, what you're hoping Trevor Lawrence does in his first year is what Justin Herbert just did. You know, I mean, it's almost like best case. Like, he just broke most of the meaningful records, rookie records, looked incredible. Nobody expected him to do that in his first year. Totally different player than he was at Oregon. And so I think that matters. He has a year of that on film. Now, Baker Mayfield was awesome his first year and then regressed. We've seen plenty of quarterbacks take steps back. The Chargers job also comes with a significant concern in that you have to play Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes twice a year, probably for the next 10 years. So that, you know, you're borderline playing for second in that division. Whereas in, you know, in the AFC South, you take that job in Jacksonville and Phillip Rivers is retiring either after this year or the next, or he's gone in Indy. You know, Houston is a hot mess and Tennessee is a good team, but certainly not the Chiefs by any stretch of the imagination. The one thing for me that would probably be more important than anything is if I'm a head coach, and I think the tiebreaker for me wouldn't be the division, wouldn't be the quarterbacks. It would be finding out what freedom I would have as a coach to be able to bring in a GM that I could work with in Jacksonville. Because I think, you know, somebody like Urban Meyer is going to get pretty much carte blanche given his, you know, his status to bring in whoever he wants as the GM. Somebody like an Arthur Smith, who is a great candidate, but, you know, not as big a name, may not have that cachet with Shad Khan, may have some of the GM voices on him. In other words, it's very possible and almost likely if the Jags don't get Urban Meyer that they then go out and hire a GM who will then hire the coach. And so that power structure to me would matter a lot comparing it to going and working with Tom Telesco, who, by the way, is now hiring his third head coach as well, which means that his time is fairly short if it doesn't work out.
Will Brinson here on the show. Brinson, speaking of the Colts, some breaking news from Stephen Holder. Colts veteran left tackle Anthony Costanzo has announced his retirement.
Wow. That is not great for the Colts. I mean, you would have pegged Anthony Costanzo to retire before Phillip Rivers, right? I mean, wouldn't Costanzo drafted the year after Andrew Luck? Right? No, I guess that's not right. But, yeah, I mean, yeah, that's man, that's a tough loss for the Colts. Certainly, he was he was missing in the playoff game, and they protected fine. There's been talk about moving Quentin Nelson over to left tackle, the all world guard. Kind of hate to even hear that buzz. Just go figure out a way to shore up the tackle position instead. But that's a big blow for the Colts. In 2021, I mean, the offensive line and their run game is sort of the strength of what they do. Jonathan Taylor came on like gangbusters, and now they're going to be missing Costanzo.
Will Brinson here on the show. So I had Cleveland winning that game. I bet on Cleveland on the money line, and
wow, good
certainly with
you.
The points. Yep. Felt. I mean, we talked on the show. I had no. I was just pure gut. It was just pure gut. Just felt. I don't know. It was one of those things.
Well, you know what? You know what the weirdest thing was, Bill, is that so the line is Pittsburgh -5. And it's announced that there's this Browns COVID outbreak, and their head coach and all Pro Bowl guard are going to miss the game. And then the game, then the line opens back up, and it's Steelers -6. And then it comes back to 5 before kickoff. And at that point, I picked the Steelers -5 when the COVID news was announced. I think I'd get like 10 or something. I could window it.
Right.
It came back at 6, and then 5 again. I was like, oh, I'm screwed. Like if Kevin Stefanski, if the head coach missing the game doesn't move the line a point, then something reeks here.
But I have zero confidence in Cleveland now against. I know Kansas City is a whole different animal than the Steelers. Do you this game gets played 100 times, right? 100 different alternate universes. How many times do you think the Browns actually win this thing at Arrowhead?
I'll say 15 to 20. I know
that's a lot.
Probably higher. Yeah, I know that's probably higher than people expect. I mean, I don't think it's a 90% outcome for the Chiefs. I mean, that's a lot. I mean, 90%. If you're winning a game 90% of the time, I can't do the math in my head because I'm, it's just too strung out off of these playoff, 2:30 a.m. playoff Twitch streams that we've been doing. I think you'd have to be more like a 17-point favorite to be up in 95, or, 90. Like, I just don't think that. I think there's too many weird things that happen in football games to give the Chiefs that big of an advantage. I mean, you saw that the snap over Roethlisberger's head. We've seen the Chiefs in the last three playoff games that they played en route to a Super Bowl victory, got down. They were trailing big deficits against the Texans, the Titans, and the 49ers, and one of the things that the Browns can do, and the Chiefs aren't necessarily great at defending, is, they can run the ball really effectively with Kareem Hunt and Nick Chubb. And so I think if the Browns were to get – I think there's enough alternate universes where if Cleveland gets a lead, they can salt away it enough and squeak out with a win. But when you watch that second half that the Steelers had, the Browns are probably not going to score the single most points in playoff history in a first quarter, you know, ever again in back-to-back weeks, right? And so let's say they're up 21-0. Let's say they're up 14-0 in the first quarter. Well, the way that secondary is and that pass defense is, I mean, Mahomes is going to be – it's like they're bottom five against tight end defense, against intermediate pass defense, against long, deep pass defense. I mean, Mahomes is going to have a field day if he's protected at all. So that's sort of my concern with Cleveland is I don't know that there's a lead that is big enough to protect them from Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs storming back they can score 21 points in the blink of an eye. And we saw Pittsburgh do it already, and if Pittsburgh can do it, then I know that Kansas City can.
Will Brinson here on the show. Well, I actually haven't seen the lines yet. I guess I just haven't. I haven't sought them out yet. So, apropos of nothing, knowing not the lines, I love Tampa Bay against New Orleans, and I haven't seen the number yet. What's your sense of that game?
Yeah, I mean, it's a 3-point spread there for New Orleans. New Orleans juiced, I think, a little bit. I haven't looked at it today to see if they move. But my concern is that, people are like, well, it's tough to beat an NFL team three times in one season. Actually, if you look at the math, it's not. Like, two-thirds of the time, it ends up happening when those teams meet. And the reason is because if you beat somebody twice, you're probably just a bad matchup for him, and you're probably going to beat him a third time when you see him again. And I really do think that the Saints are just a bad matchup for the Buccaneers. The other thing with Tampa, 1-4 straight up and 0-5 against the spread on the season against top 10 defenses, I think, by DVOA. I mean, you look at the teams that beat them this year, right? Saints twice, Rams once, Bears once, Chiefs once. I mean, the Chiefs, maybe you can, if you want to, nitpick on their defense or whatever, that's fine, but they get great interior pass rush and have a good defensive line and don't need to blitz you in order to rush you. And that's the key, is if you can generate, I mean, and we've known this for years, if you can generate pressure on Tom Brady with four guys and then drop everybody else in coverage, and you can get home on the interior and get him off his spot, you can really make him uncomfortable. And when he's uncomfortable, he starts doing the lazy, like, deep passes where he's like, and like throwing it up in the air, and he's clearly frustrated. And I don't know how much adjustment we'll see from Bruce Arians in terms of letting Tom Brady throw quick, throw short, get the ball out of his hands. We just haven't seen that over the course of his career, even over the course of the season. And so if I've got a top tier defense, which the Saints are, going up against Tampa Bay and Tom Brady, I'm gonna lean towards a top tier defense and the Saints getting the sweep here.
Will Brinson on the show. The Pick Six podcast is a must listen. It's a daily NFL podcast. A lot of ways to get it. You can just Google Pick Six podcast, iTunes, all the places you get them, or just go to Twitter at Will Brinson, and the link is there. Along with Brinson, if there were ever just a like power rankings for everybody's pinned tweets, yours might be number one. It is just insert some NBA dude, and it's the exact conversation I have with my wife basically three times a month.
I love doing NBA DFS stuff, and so like my wife will come home. Yeah, she'll come back from like taking Robbie to the playground and come back, and I've got like a NBA DFS YouTube video on TV. She's like, what are you doing? Explain how this is work. I can't wait to hear this. I'm like, what? Yeah, man. Yeah. This guy could be a lot of tight ends come from the NBA. You never know who the next crossover superstar will be, honey.
Sweetheart, as soon as we say goodbye to you, I'm reading this tweet on the air. Will Brinson, thanks for making time, buddy. Great stuff as always.
All right. See you, Bill.